Hello, happy Thursday. We're broadcasting from CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver on the unceded ancestral territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people, and you're listening to All Access Pass. Tonight, we are going to be doing part two in our series on sexuality and disability, and that is going to include an interview that we recorded yesterday with Trish St. John from Sensual Solutions in Vancouver. Katie will be reviewing a piece for us. It's an artistic performance, and it's called Sins Invalid, and we will also be talking about, with DP and Spencer, disability and sexuality services and resources in Vancouver. We'll start you off with a song. Here is Love is Louder by Craig Cardiff.
Love is louder than all this noise. Well, Ohio last November was simply terrible. And what with the way wind turned rain into snow. Well, they stopped you, they stopped you at the border box. I said, what to declare? He said, I don't know what I don't know. Since when is every song an argument? Oh, every word a bomb. Now terrible explosions when put together wrong. You said, I know, I know, I know the words too. Well, I know the words too. I was there with you. I wrote them too. Lean in, oh, can you not hear the sound that the heart makes as she leans in? Oh, when can you not hear the sound that the heart makes as she goes away? And we said, love is louder than all this. Love is louder than all this. Love is louder than all this noise. We said, love is louder than all this. Love is louder than all this. Love is louder than all this noise. Was your messy art chosen, or was it overlooked? Are you the crazy in the corner, writing it in your book? Well, a cynic with a cynic's hook. Certain as the sky will fall. Were you to be taken from me by words or by craft or by bombs? Well, I would rage into an army. I would bring you back with songs. Lean in, oh, when can you not hear the sound that the heart makes as she leans in? Oh, when can you not hear the sound? We said, love is louder than all this. Love is louder than all this. Love is louder than all this noise. We said, love is louder than all this. Love is louder than all this. Love is louder than all this noise. And we said, love is louder than all this. Love is louder than all this. Love is louder than all this noise. Lean in, oh, and can you not hear the sound that the heart makes as she goes? This moment's happening, we're all in it. Well, the trick is the recognition, a little perfect and all. Hands up, don't you dare sleep through this. No one knows how much time is left. How much time is left? All right, say, hey, hey. How much time? Louder than all this noise. We
He said, love is louder than the noise. Love is louder than the noise. Love is louder than the noise. Noise. And he said, love is louder than the noise. Love is louder than the noise. Love is louder than the noise. Noise.
That was Love is Louder by Craig Cardiff, and you're listening to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. Up next, we have an interview that we're going to share with you. We conducted this interview with Trish St. John because we were hoping to take away the stigma around sexuality and disability, which is what this week's show is all about. On All Access Pass, we are advocating for people of all abilities, and we bring together topics of inclusion, equity, and accessibility with the goal of making the world a more inclusive and accessible space for everyone. Accessibility is not a mainstream topic, and we want to put it and all the ways it isn't talked about in the spotlight. For example, today's topic of sexuality and disability, which is almost never in the spotlight of mainstream media. So we're happy to share that with you today. We're going to get an inside look into what sexuality-related resources do exist for people with disabilities. And we sought out an interview with Trish from the organization Sensual Solutions. Trish is the founder of this organization, which is the first of its kind in Canada and is based right here in Vancouver. Keep listening to find out more. Here is our interview recorded at the station yesterday.
As a station, we believe in playing content with artistic and cultural merit, and sometimes that category includes material which can be construed as offensive. For those who have children nearby or are sensitive to provocative material, the following broadcast may have strong language, themes, or be otherwise objectionable. Please consider tuning out and revisiting CITR after this program.
Case is coming. Join us from May 2nd to...
Hello, everybody. Today, I'm joined in the studio by member Spencer Williams and our special guest, Trish St. John from Sensual Solutions in Vancouver. Welcome, Trish.
Thank you.
And could you start off by just introducing yourself to our listeners?
Sure. My name is Trish, and longtime Vancouverite. I've been operating my little business for almost 5 years now. My background is human resources and marketing. I worked for a Canadian financial institution for about 20 plus years before I retired early.
Wow. Lucky you.
Yeah.
But now you're working again.
Yes.
Can you tell our listeners what Sensual Solutions is?
Yes. It's an opportunity. Sensual Solutions is my little organization that I started about 5 years ago. And it's a service, it's an advocacy group, and it's a resource for adults living with physical disability.
What services does Sensual Solutions provide?
Okay, so for services, so first of all, we are a resource for doctors, for occupational therapists, for sexologists, for relationship therapists. They will come to us and refer some of their clients to us. We're also an advocacy group, so we fight for human rights and the sexual rights of people with adults living with disability. We're also a resource for adult parents with adult children living with disability. And lastly, we have an educational component of the different services that we provide to our clients. And that can be anything from kind of wellness coaching, body image coaching, negative self-talk, confidence building, through ways such as tantric massage, healing touch, cuddling, just human-to-human contact.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a variety of levels of services that our clients can choose from depending on what they hope to achieve.
How do these services and your mandate fit within the current Canadian legislation regarding these different types of services? Because I know this isn't a common service that we find everywhere.
Right. We're actually pioneering this in Canada. For some of the services, it's kind of one step beyond personal care aid.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually taking information that our clients learn when they're in rehab programs, which they learn from sexual clinicians, and we help put it into practice.
It sounds like you're paving a new path in this.
Yeah, we're trying to be a little bit of a renegade. We're trying to definitely be an advocate, definitely want to be a human rights organization to help get the word out that adults living with physical disability deserve pleasant touch and pleasure just like the rest of us.
What inspired you to start Sensual Solutions?
Well, this is the interesting part. Once I retired from my full-time career, I decided to do something really different. And that was I became like a sales manager or what they call a phone girl at one of Vancouver's highest escort agencies. And I was there being this phone girl, and I absolutely loved it. I did it for about 7 years. I absolutely loved it. It was just great. The women were fantastic. What got me to this point, though, was that we had several clients who would call us with, and they had physical disabilities. It was very difficult to get the proper person matched up to see them. And if they did, they didn't always know how to assist the person. And so I decided, I left that organization and I decided there's got to be something better. So while I was still there, I was doing a lot of research. I did research. I actually put together a focus group on Craigslist. I knew this job was a stepping stone to something, but I wasn't quite sure what. And so after all my research and looking at what was around, what was happening around the world in regards to services that involve intimate touch, there really wasn't that much out there, and there certainly wasn't that much in Canada. When I started asking people about their experiences, when I started asking my focus group of adults with disabilities, their experiences were somewhat frightening. A few of them may have had, you know, good experiences, but for the most part, it was how their stories about how they got ripped off, how they were rolled for money. Just terrible, terrible things. It broke my heart.
So it seems like you didn't have a particular model or another example organization to work off of. You were creating something brand new. So what were some of your goals when you were starting this? What did you envision this looking like?
Well, that's one of the things that we did come up with. We did come up with kind of like a mission of what we wanted to achieve. And yeah, there wasn't really anything around. So when I was looking at what was around in other parts of the world and talking to some people, I wanted to make sure that this was a service that would help, that would get people talking about people with disabilities, especially adults, men, women, and couples who are not being treated as such and are not given the opportunity to experience a full life. So some of our mission is that we want to provide this kind of coaching with respect and with dignity, and we want it to be safe and we want it to be fun. And we are a professional resource. That was one of our missions, that we wanted to be a professional resource for people in the healthcare community. And we've been doing a great job at building that. And we wanted to make sure that we could help to enhance intimacy in the lives of adults living with physical disabilities. That's all I wanted to do. I think going back to your previous question about what else got me into this was I did a lot of reading, and I read about a local couple here in Vancouver who both had disabilities and they had personal care aides. The two people met and they fell in love. And what do you want to do when you fall in love? You want to experience that love. And so they had a real problem getting connected, getting together. And they were very fearful about asking their care aide for help. I believe the gentleman asked his care aide, and she begrudgingly, kind of disgustingly said, yes, I'll help. And as I was reading this article, that was really upsetting me. So she helped, which would mean doing things like helping them undress, helping them both get into bed, perhaps helping them put on condoms or other forms of birth control, and then helping them be together in the bed and then leaving them alone for their privacy or being there if you needed them to be there. So I believe that happened with them, but I believe after that they were having a harder and harder time And so they ended up breaking up.
Wow.
And that broke my heart. And I thought that's not right.
No. It seems to me what we do on our show is we're trying to educate people who are listening and just bring some of these issues of inclusion and accessibility to light. And it seems from what you're saying, a lot of this comes from just someone's attitude. It's not even just physical accessibility, but in terms of people who are involved in these processes, breaking down stigma and misconceptions, I think, could really have a good impact on people's attitudes, and that we can all be part of communities where this is a normal thing and this is something that we're willing to be engaged in. And we really support that. So we're so happy that this resource started. It's so unfortunate it had to start from negative experiences and bad stories.
Right.
But so I came into this and I was going to ask you if any similar resources existed in Vancouver before Sensual Solutions. And I'll let you answer that question. But if it's a no, and I know now you've said you did a lot of research, I'm wondering if you can point out some other areas in the world that had services like this that you thought, wow, this can be a possibility that I can bring to Vancouver or bring to Canada.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yes. There's some countries doing some amazing things. One country would be Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a model where they're working with actual sex workers. So people who are prostitutes or sex workers work with their people with disabilities, and they've formed a group called Touching Base, and they've done some wonderful work.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be also the same group that put together the documentary Scarlet Road, which I highly recommend if you can get it on YouTube or whatever. It's from Australia. Scarlet Road, fantastic movie. So Australia is doing a lot of up-and-coming things. England has done some things. In fact, I believe in some of their legislature, they have put it in their disability budget that someone would receive a visit from that type of practitioner once a month,
mm-hmm.
paid for in their medical benefits. Israel's doing a very clinical study.
Mm-hmm.
It's still hands-on, and it's still offering intimacy. However, they're doing it under a clinical structure, and it's getting a lot of really great attention.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, where else? Germany.
Okay.
And there's a group in Japan called Angel Hands. I think that's about it that I can recall. But what's great about it, when I started this, it was like a groundswell. All of a sudden, all over the place, the same time I was doing it, things were happening. The movie The Sessions came out.
Yeah, great movie.
And I went, oh my gosh, this is what we're trying to do, having a surrogacy type of service for people who want to help, accessing their bodies.
Yeah.
And what else happened? Another movie came out, The Sessions, with Helen Hunt. That was a wonderful movie. About her, about the surrogate. I just kept looking around, and it's, I'm hoping that in 5 years' time we don't even need this kind of conversation. It's just nobody's business but each of our own, and, you know, it's available all over the place, and there shouldn't be even any discussion about it.
Yeah. Kind of the idea of you and your organization, and I would say here on CITR and with our show All Access Pass, we consider ourselves advocates for inclusion and accessibility and equity for people with disabilities, but we would love to get to the place where we didn't even have to advertise ourselves as advocates because everyone was an advocate.
Right.
This was just an issue that was not even an issue. It was just part of life.
Yes.
I'm going to pass the questions over to Spencer because you've got some great questions, Spencer.
Where did the term intimacy coaches come from?
The term intimacy coaches came from my wonderful brain. And I think it's important. It's an important term because we are there to help coach. We are there to help listen. We're there to get our clients through some scenarios to help them build confidence. So yeah, an intimacy coach, I guess we're not really relationship coaches but intimacy coach seemed to be the best fit for us. What do you think?
I love the title. I mean, it just fits what you guys are trying to do here, and I totally respect it.
Excellent.
Who can access your services?
Anybody over the age of 19 who has a physical injury, challenge, limitation, as well as their parents. We get a lot of calls from parents with adult children who have a disability.
Given that you occupy a form of therapy, do you work with or get referrals from healthcare services?
We do. We do get referrals, yes. We've worked with a couple of different relationship therapists and some different clinicians. And we've either gotten a referral directly from them or we've sat down with them and the potential client and just had a brief chat to find out, to make the client a little bit more comfortable, because I think a lot of clients, you know, sometimes don't know what our service is, and they need to feel, I want them to feel comfortable because we're going into their home and so on.
What is one thing that you're most proud of in accomplishing with Central Solutions?
Oh, what a nice question. I'm proud of myself for having the courage to do this, but I'm also really proud of a client testimonial that brought me to tears about a man who has a spinal cord injury, and he was injured many, many years ago, and he wrote us a beautiful note saying that he hadn't been kissed in a very long time, and he wanted to thank us. He hadn't been kissed in about 24 years. And he said, it just felt wonderful. And I told my husband and I started getting a little teary. And I thought that was all worth it. That was so worth it. Mm-hmm.
Has anything surprised you in this process?
Yes. Yes, a lot of things have surprised me. I wouldn't even know where to begin. I've learned a lot about different injuries. It's not cut and dry. So that's been interesting, going through and learning from our clients what types of how they work around their challenges and so on. That's been really interesting. The other thing that surprises me is some people don't understand what we're trying to do, so they think the worst of it. And they do not support it at all. I've only had two pieces of feedback from that, you know, but it was, they're almost cruel. These people that comment about, one was after a magazine article and it was posted online, and the feedback was something to do with, you know, why are we even concerned with this? This is not something we should even be talking about. And oh, that was really surprising that someone could actually be kind of obtuse about the whole thing, and to have formed such an opinion about who should be able to touch our bodies, or, you know, should we even be allowed to touch our bodies? And if someone helps us, that could be breaking the law in this person's eyes. And I just thought that was so shameful, just ridiculous.
It's a taboo subject that not everyone feels comfortable experiencing or talking about, but
right.
I think it's important to at least get people informed and
yep.
Just to see if you know, it's for them.
It's actually not too bad to get criticism too, because anything that, you know, gets the word out there, the old marketing adage, you know, just get my name in there. I don't care if it's, just make sure it's spelled right.
Yeah, any press is good press.
Exactly.
Sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you observed shifts in general attitudes towards sexuality and disability?
Not a lot. Not a lot in my area or in my community. But I have noticed that there has been a lot of calls from back east. And Ireland was another country that were calling us, asking if we could set up the same type of thing, you know, across the country and so on. So that's probably something that I've been watching, is that more and more people are interested in starting something like this up across other parts of Canada. which is great.
Would you say, along those same lines, in terms of shifts in attitudes, have you noticed stigma and misconceptions being decreased in this this area of
you know
topic?
What? I don't think I can actually come up with a measurement because the one thing I did not do was kind of set a bar for myself at the beginning to measure from.
Yeah.
So just my own kind of empirical isn't there, but I have noticed that what keeps coming back are these adults with adult children that keep calling me.
Yeah.
That's the interesting thing. What they're saying is things like, and these are moms and dads in their 50s and 60s, and they're saying, oh my gosh, I was going to start the same thing. I've been looking for something like this forever. I don't want to go to the back of the Georgia Strait. I want something professional. I want something that's more of a medical model. So that's been a lot of our phone calls have been around that.
Yeah. In terms of the other topics that we've looked at on our show, the same goes. It's so hard to measure, and we're surrounded here at the university and at CITR by, I think, people who have more progressive attitudes and knowledge bases around this subject. But we have noted in a lot of fields that a lot of stigma and misconceptions still exist, and
right.
It's definitely something that we're working towards and we wish would move a little faster, I think, in terms of education.
Yes.
And media coverage. We're not mainstream media. And so I think incorporating mainstream media, popular media, into these conversations would be so beneficial. And
mm-hmm.
we're so glad to hear that you've also been invited
mm-hmm.
To other radio stations.
Right.
That's really
yeah.
great news. I wanted to jump back to what Spencer was asking you about if you get referrals from healthcare services.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask what your experiences have been in terms of the attitudes of healthcare professionals that you've dealt with, because we've heard some stories about adults with disabilities investigating if these type of services exist or just having questions and wanting to explore. And a first point of contact a lot of times are their healthcare providers.
Right.
And so how have you found healthcare providers to be in terms of their attitudes around sexuality and disability?
That is an interesting question again. With doctors and occupational therapists and relationship therapists, they've all been very positive. They've all been on board, and they've all several groups have asked me to come and speak so that they know what it is that we do. So that level, it's very professional and a lot of support. I would say that the place that I'd like to make inroads is with personal care attendants
mm-hmm.
and with nurses. I have received a very critical comment online from a nurse, actually a nursing student. And a very heated letter from her as to why I should not be lumping nurses into my talks or into, you know, I have coaches that are nurses.
Yeah.
I don't know how representative that is about nurses in general, but again, a lot of awareness.
Yeah.
And believe me, I've known nurses in the past that have told me about the unpublished things that they do that aren't, you won't find in the textbooks in the schools,
yeah.
but the things that they have done to help their patients who might be in some kind of sexual agony or something, or have taught them things, gotten them into the position for perhaps masturbation. And so they have told me that those are things, and they would deny them if they were ever asked, but they've said those are the things that they've had in school and they've had passed down to them. So hopefully we'll make some inroads with them. And then the personal care aides, my goal is for the next year or two is to kind of get in front of them at their educational institutions and talk about our service and what we do, even to just get the light bulb moment where, oh, I didn't know that people with living with disabilities got horny. Yeah, we do. We do get horny. And we do like to be touched rather than just bathed with a hard scrub brush and,
yeah.
you know, our hair washed just very vigorously. We do want to be hugged more than just from our mom and dad. We do want to feel a set of nice firm boobs up against our chest. It goes on and on. But yeah, personal care aides, they have a lot of restrictions as to what they can do. Plus, they come with their own philosophy and religious backgrounds and so on. And so hopefully we'll make some inroads with them in the next year or two as well.
That would make perfect sense, because these are all people who have gone into a helping profession and I think have an inclination to want to be helping people. So it would be great. You said you weren't sure if that attitude from the person who had a negative comment for you was a product of nursing or if she was representing the nursing demographic.
Right.
Maybe even just representing the system of education behind nurses. It's maybe, you know, just the system and the institutes are lacking any awareness, or even if they are aware, maybe they're not incorporating these ideas into their curriculum. So that would be a great place for them to start if any nursing teachers are out there listening to
us.
Good
point, Molly. Yeah, absolutely. That may have represented a whole bunch of things that that talks about education in general. That it's totally, you know, how much time do we give when we talk about different injuries or challenges? Yeah.
I could see, too, revolving around that concept. I think going forward, and maybe I'm wrong, but maybe I'm giving my generation the benefit of the doubt more than other generations, but these are ideas that are tending to be more progressive and are coming out into the public sphere just kind of in the past decade almost.
Mm-hmm.
And so looking at healthcare professionals, any of these kind of educational institutions, the people in the, I guess for lack of a better word, the power dynamic or the educators didn't grow up with this dialogue being in public discourse.
Right.
And so it's like all the young people rising up through the ranks, rising as just as students who support these ideas and support these systems. And it'll be excited once we see them getting into the positions of power and saying like, okay, I'm the decision maker now. This is what we're going to learn. This is what's good. So it's really exciting to see if that will happen.
Yeah, that's a really good point, especially with all the openness I find with the younger generation around LGBTQ, you know, all of that. Is this the last vestige? Is this the last thing to fight for? Probably not. But it's on the table now. And as the younger generation picks it up, I think you're right. I think it's in 5 years from now, hopefully 10 years, this isn't even going to be a needed service.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely okay with me. I'd like to see our clients improve in areas that they want to improve in, get their confidence up, and hey, you want some help getting ready for a date or coaching for a date, we're here for that. Just, you know, don't exclude yourself from living. We're here to help you kickstart that, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, I do have to say, speaking on the behalf of my generation, we are so, so grateful for people like you who are in positions where you can found an organization like this. You can retire early and do that. And because you are the pioneers and you are setting the foundation for us as we grow up and come into careers. So that is amazing.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
I wanted to ask as well, do you think we're ever going to see healthcare giving stipends to help pay for services like this, specifically in Canada? Because I know you mentioned such a thing exists in other countries.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. I have hope. I just need more people to get out there and talk about it.
Yeah. We need to be in the ears of the politicians.
Exactly. And actually, I'm hearing a little bit more openness from the community of lawyers and trust agencies. So if someone has a large trust fund or something, you know, inheritance or whatever, has had an accident and the lawyers go to court for them to get a settlement, I'm hearing that lawyers are asking, you know, what should we build in here for our clients' recreation, activity, sexual health. So when I hear sexual health, oh my goodness, that's wonderful. That's kind of the missing piece when we talk about a person's whole dynamic, you know, and it's the beginning of, what is it, the first or the second level of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So
totally.
I can breathe, I can eat, and now I'd like a little loving.
Yep. Or maybe a little loving and then eating and breathing.
Yeah, okay.
Whatever individual you are, what your needs come first.
Right.
We don't know how you'll prioritize those, but that's your business. Our show looks at issues of accessibility and inclusion for people with disabilities in a whole bunch of different spheres. And this week and last week are the first weeks that we've actually talked specifically about sexuality and disability. And I just wanted to ask, how does Sensual Solutions represent accessibility and inclusion in your eyes?
So from the physical side of things, we train our intimacy coaches. They receive an orientation from some people we know from GF Strong through their peer support program. They formed an organization called EASE, Equitable Accessible Sexual Expression. And that's a group that I have an arm's length relationship with. So they've been helping orient our intimacy coaches on things like when you do go to someone's home, or how are you going to do if there's any equipment that needs to be dealt with, pivot transfers, any equipment, catheters, and so on. Mm-hmm. So we try and give them as much information they feel comfortable working with that. Also accessibility in such that our website is, you can get it in big print, you can get it for the deaf as well. We've got an app in there for that to happen. I think making sure our intimacy coaches have criminal record checks,
mm-hmm.
Because it is a vulnerable group that we're working with, and they have to trust us with their money.
Yeah.
Another form of accessibility is that they can pay us now through Interac transfer, so they don't have to worry about having cash in their home.
Mm-hmm.
If someone is wanting a home visit, but they have no privacy, which is a big complaint of a lot of our clients, there's just no privacy. So we'll often say, you know, if you want to book a hotel room, we'll try and cost share that with you.
Is there any lasting comments you'd like to say to our listeners before we finish the interview?
I would say if you know anyone, if you are a personal attendant or a friend of someone who's living with disability and you see that perhaps they could use this service, I would ask you to check out our website and give us a call, see if we can help you at all. It's just a phone call. There's no obligation. So if you want to just give us a call and have a chat, you're more than welcome to do that. Our website is sensualsolutions.ca and our phone number is 604-836-6484. And on our website, we have a list of our services and we list out our coaches. We have both female and male coaches, and we're open. We help, hetero and the LGBTQ group, or any, however you identify, you're welcome.
Great. That's what we love to hear.
Uh-huh. And we'd love to hear from more female clients. When Spencer asked me earlier, was there anything that surprised you? That's probably another thing that surprised me is that there's not a lot of female clients living with disability that want to access or have shown interest in our service. And I'm wondering if that's just part and parcel of women altogether. You know, why put somebody in a category because they have a physical injury or challenge? I think women altogether have an issue about their sexuality and receiving pleasure and giving pleasure and all of that. So, but I'm hoping to make some inroads on that too. So, I just want to thank you for the opportunity. It's great to be here. Great to talk about it.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us at CITR today, Trish. We really value your contributions to the topic of sexuality and disability.
Happy to be here. Hope this helps. Kisses and hugs to everybody on this gorgeous spring day.
Mm-hmm. Sunshiny day for a great conversation.
Thank you.
Thanks. Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. You just heard the interview that I did with Spencer with our special guest, Trish St. John from Sensual Solutions. And sorry, I should introduce myself again. I'm Molly McAllister, and I'm joined in the booth today by almost all of my collective members from the Accessibility Collective. Now we're going to throw it to a song.
Here is Gina Perla with Exactly Nowhere.
Heart is where the home is. I can't find mine. Think I left it in the cushions of your couch. And everything is ouch, yeah. Everything hurts. I can't breathe and I'm getting worse. Cause I miss you, I miss New York. guy. I miss me, I'm a missing person, yeah. I miss you, I miss New York guy. I miss me, I'm a missing person, I'm a missing person, I'm a. Follow your bliss, so I followed you right off of the bridge, and yeah, you let me do it. Maybe I'm weak, hey, that's okay. One thing that I learned from you is strength is overrated, 'cause yeah, let me sink to the bottom of the Hudson. You held me underwater, and I'm still underwater, yeah, I'm still underwater, 'cause I miss you, I miss New York, I miss me, I'm a missing person, yeah, I miss you, I miss New York, I miss me, I'm a missing person, I'm a missing person, I'm a missing person.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
From time to time, people ask me, hey Haipei, how do you drop your body weight from 230 pounds to 175 pounds? Or hey man, I've been really stressed out lately, what can I do to decrease the stress level, blow off some steam, and keep a positive attitude? The answer is simple, just run. Running is the reason I can lose 60 pounds, keep a positive mindset, meet new people, and be happy. This is not some cheesy advertisement, this is real life testimony. Join the UBC Fun Run Club outside the Student Recreational Center on Mondays and Fridays at 4:30 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for group runs. For more information, make sure you visit runubc.com or connect with us on Facebook by searching UBC Fun Run Club. You can also spread word by tweeting about us, hashtag RunUBC.
To understand more about fashion, we asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism as opposed to someone who buys, like, you know, all the clothing. insane and self-advising.
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture, and that's been around for centuries.
Bepi Crispin presents difficult music, harsh electronics, spoken word, cut up / collage, and a general Crispin weirdness. Sunday, 7 to 9 a.m. at CITR 101.9 FM.
Hello, my name is Katie Tissington Turner. Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. We are broadcasting live until 6 p.m. today from the ancestral unceded territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. In the absence of our collective member, Nahi, today, I am here to talk about another avenue through which folks with disabilities, whether they be physical, cognitive, visual, or chronic pain, to explore themes of sexuality and to share and learn from each other, as well as express and explore sexual desire. In the San Francisco Bay Area, there is a group of performers, activists, community organizers, and artists that come together to engage with sexuality and disability in empowering and important ways. The idea is for these artists with varying abilities to come together and showcase their stories, perform their stories, and present them in various formats via monologues, solo or group performances, dancing, singing, almost anything you can think of. What is really important about this collective is that it is fully run by and for individuals with disabilities and also takes into consideration other social determinants of our identities, such as race, class, ethnicity, sexual orientation, and more. The performers integrate a cast of queer folks of color and provide space and voice for those most marginalized to not only be sexual beings, but to bring it to reach in order to reach other folks with disabilities, to raise awareness and bridge allyship gaps for able-bodied individuals. On their website, Sins Invalid is who you're looking for here, and you can hear them describing this on their website. Our performance work explores the themes of sexuality, embodiment, and the disabled body. Conceived and led by disabled people of color, we develop and present cutting-edge work where normative paradigms of quote-unquote normal and quote-unquote sexy are challenged, offering instead a vision of beauty and sexuality inclusive of all individuals and communities. The main goals of this group are to promote leadership opportunities for people with disabilities, develop and present strong artistic work that explores sexuality and the non-normative body, integrating the full and multidimensional experiences of disabled artists who are also people of color and LGBTIQ, in order to represent all of our communities and challenge dominant misperceptions about people with disabilities. We wanted to highlight Sins Invalid in our show today because of the many ways in which marginalized populations are resisting and using art as a medium for that, as well as a medium for healing and self-expression. Oftentimes, when we're talking about disability justice, physical access to spaces, or certain rights and accommodations are at the forefront of that conversation. But to echo last week's show, conversations around sexuality and disability are not only lacking, but many are misinformed on varying aspects of sexuality and of disability. Sins Invalid, being a performance theater, invites not only artists with disabilities to empower themselves, it also begins to create necessary dialogue and conversations around the topic colloquially. Also, because Sins Invalid takes the position of centering voices in an intersectional manner and centering those most marginalized by society, the information that is presented is one that is carried out with a critical lens that is also intentionally a social justice movement. Art, theater, dance, and other forms of performance provide space and voice and opportunity for important awareness, empowering, and resistance work. Sims Invalid is available online. You can find the link to the trailer on our Facebook page, All Access Pass. Go give us a like and get a glimpse of the beautiful performances.
Here's Heaven by Petal.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Molly McAllister. Up next, I have DP here, and she's going to talk a little bit more about other resources that exist in Vancouver on the issue of sexuality and disability. All right, take it away, DP.
Okay. So are there any resources and services when sexuality and disability is concerned? Well, searching on the net, GF Strong Rehab Center provided a PDF information sheet in September 2014 to educate children, teens, and parents on sexual health, sexuality, and disability. The PDF is shared file and can be found at the BC Children's Hospital website, which is www.bcchildrens.ca. And this reading list suggests books, videos, and websites for you to check out. Also, Sunny Hill Education Resource Center also has books, videos, and materials designed for children with disabilities, and a large library collection of sexuality and disability resources.
Thanks for that, DP. So as you can see, there really isn't that many resources in Vancouver for people with disabilities on the topic of sexuality. So we're really hoping that by doing shows like these and talking to people like Trish, we can start breaking down the stigma and the misconceptions more. And hopefully in that process, we can see more resources be born. We're just about out of time for tonight, so I want to say thanks for joining us. Tune in next Thursday at 5 o'clock to hear another episode of All Access Pass. Up next on air on CITR is UBC Arts On Air, and we're going to leave you off with a song, so have a wonderful weekend and a wonderful Friday, and happy end of March.
Good luck with April Fool's Day.
Oh, it is April Fool's. Maybe we're fooling you. We're going to leave you off, and this isn't a joke, but we're going to leave you off with Blackbird on Fire by Amelia Curran.
I loved you like a meteor. It cannot change its path. It's peeled by speed and fire, just kamikaze ash. And like dust on dust we follow. No cradle for regard, no grave to bury sorrow in, and no arrows in our hearts. And yet bleeding mild forgiveness, confessions did not earn, but a whisper to the witnesses, all waiting for their turn. And I get tired, awakened by the weight of the common human state. And the metaphor, blackbird on fire, on soft mahogany, doesn't carry any key, doesn't carry any key. I'll be burned before I'm free. Like a universal soldier, I am my own worst enemy. And I have tamed the tide of failure. I have turned the looking glass. I have harvested the future, and I've paralyzed the past. But with one eye closed, I'm folding to a recent memory, when that universal soldier meant everything to me.